passage of scripture this morning, another parable of that Christ spoke, and God being our helper this morning, we'll probably do some reading in a few other places, but this is where we want to take our text from, Matthew 13, verse number 24. The scripture reads, "And another parable put he forth unto them, saying, The kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which soweth good seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. But when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. So the servants of the householder came and said unto him, Sir, didst thou not know that this, excuse me, Sir, didst thou not sow good seed in thy field? From whence then hath it tares? He said unto them, An enemy hath done this. The servant said unto him, Wilt thou then that we go and gather them up? This is a question. Verse 29, But he said, Nay, lest while ye gather up the tares, ye root up also the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. In the time of the harvest, I will say to the reapers, Gather ye together first the tares, bind them in the bundles and to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. And I want you to just jump briefly over to verse number 36. This is the explanation of this parable. Then Jesus sent the multitude away and went into the house, and his disciples came unto him, saying, Declare unto us the parable of the tares of the field. He answered and said unto them, He that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man, the field is the world, the seed are the children of the kingdom, but the tares are the children of the wicked one. The enemy that sowed them is the devil, the harvest is the end of the world, the reapers are the angels. As therefore the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so shall it be in the end of the world. The Son of Man shall send forth his angels. They shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend and them which do iniquity, and shall cast them into a furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Who hath ears, let him hear." And we believe that'd be all the Lord have us to read in your hearing this morning. And we pray that God add his richest blessing to the reading of his word here today. But if we want to preach on something briefly this morning, God being our helper, we will our text, and this is the name of the parable. I'm sure you've heard it preached on a number of times, but we want to preach on the wheat and the tares. And as we look right here, this is a parable, and Jesus spoke to the people in this day and time. And of course, we as preachers and pastors, a lot of times we speak this way now. We take things that we know of, and we make analogies of them, and in comparison to the Scripture, that way we can better understand what the Word of God is telling us. And this is what Jesus often did. This is basically what a parable is. He took real life things that people worked with, things that people dealt with, and he applied them in the principles of the Word of God to teach them. And there's a great lesson in this right here. Most often, we overlook the message of this parable because in our intellectual minds and in all of our infinite wisdom, we as carnal, mortal human beings, we like to take and we want to fit as much into the Word of God as we can. But the Word gives us a basic principle of how we should understand things, and this is the words of Christ. This is not outside commentators. This is not anybody else that has added their thoughts or their opinion, but this is the Word of God. Amen. And listen, I've often said this, reading a lot of commentaries and a lot of outside sources. I believe that they're beneficial. I want to say that first off. I do a lot of study. I read a lot of outside sources, but listen, we don't need to take the outside sources that we use and use them for a standard. We need to take the Word of God, use it as a standard, and anything that does not line up with the Word of God. I had a man tell me this one time. It's about like eating fish. You eat the meat and spit out the bones. Amen. We need to compare what the world has told us with what the Word of God says. But going further, listen, in verse 24, the Bible said, Jesus said, "Another parable put he forth unto them, saying, The kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which sowed good seed in his field." And I want to talk about something right here for just a minute, because this is a great deal of controversy has derived from this and the Scriptures today. There's a lot of people say there's a difference between the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of God. Amen. Now listen, I want to tell you the difference. Okay? Listen to me. You can either go to 5146 Cool Springs Road in Gainesville, or you can go to Chris and Mandy Gilbert's house. It's the same place. We just call it two different things. Amen? Amen. Do you understand what we're talking about now? So in the kingdom of heaven is the kingdom of God. Amen. It is where God resides, and it is the place that has been prepared for those that are saved and kept and sealed by the grace of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. So what Jesus is telling us, he said, this is a parable of the kingdom of heaven. What's he saying? He said, I want to teach you about the place which the prepared people of God are going, and not only are going, but how do you get there? He said, so the kingdom of heaven is likened to a man which sowed good seed in his field. And, of course, we go over here and we read the explanation of the parable. The Bible said, then Jesus sent forth, jump down to verse 37. He answered, said, he that sowed the good seed is the Son of Man. Amen. So listen, we have the field which the Bible tells us is the world. Amen. Listen, we have this carnal world that we live in. Amen. Which is compiled of all of us. Yellow, white, black, and brown, it don't matter what color, what diversity of skin we are, where we originated from, who our parents are, it does not matter. And God does not discriminate, and the Bible tells us that he is no respecter of persons. Amen. So we understand that. He created us all. Amen. Our mother and our father is Adam and Eve. Amen. It does not matter where we came from, what we are, where our origins are within this cosmic universe that we live in. It does not matter. God created us all. Amen. So God's put us here in the world. Now listen, the Bible says, and the kingdom of heaven is likened to a man which sowed good seed in his field. Amen. I believe this is worded this way because it shows ownership. Amen. It's not ours. It's not theirs. It is his. Amen. We've talked about this before. In John 3:16, the Bible said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Amen. The word world in the Greek is the word cosmos. Amen. The word cosmos is defined as the first, the second, and the third heavens. All the planetary systems, all the universes, everything that encompasses everything that our intellectual minds can grasp, has been created by him. And in the essence of this, not only has it been created by him, he loved it so much that he gave the best thing heaven had to die for it. Amen. Listen, I'm telling you something, friends, today. He loves you. And you've heard me say this a number of times. Romans 5:8, the Bible said, but God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for the ungodly. Amen. He didn't die for us in our most righteous moment. He didn't die for us because we're good people. He didn't die for us because I'm a preacher. He didn't die for us because we go to church on Sunday. He died for us because we were in need of a Savior in our sin. Amen. The world needs to understand. I've had people try and tell me and explain to me, well, preacher, I'll get saved when I can change my life and when I can live better and when I can do better. And listen, we don't need a case of the do-betters. Amen. A case of the do-betters will still send you to hell. Amen. There's a bunch of good people in hell. Amen. But there's a bunch of saved people in heaven. You see, it don't matter if you're good. It matters, in accordance with Romans 10:9-10, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, the Bible says, thou shalt be saved.
Amen. You read down in verse number 13, the Bible said, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Amen. I'm glad today, listen, we talk about this, but then we will often revert back and we say that we can, you can only be saved if, and you can only be saved if. But the Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. The Bible said in John 3:16 that he died for whosoever would. Amen. Listen, the Bible does not show discriminants. Amen. The Bible, the gospel, the word of God is for every man, woman, boy, and girl. He said, you believe and you shall be saved. Amen. I'm telling you something, friends. This man is the one who's put conditions on salvation. Calvary took all the conditions away. Amen. Hey, I'm telling you something, friends. Listen, you've heard me say this before, maybe, but listen, when Moses, when he went up to Sinai, and God, listen, the Bible said, you can read over in the 10th chapter of the book of Hebrews, the Bible said that so exceedingly fearful was the sight that the Bible said that the people quaked and feared. And listen, the Bible said that so much as a beast touched the mount that it shall be thrust through with a dart. Listen, but he said, but you are not coming to, listen, you are not come unto the blackness and darkness and tempest. The Bible said, but you have come unto Mount Zion. Amen. Friends, listen. The church of the firstborn. Listen, he has delivered us from these things. Amen. We preached on this a few weeks ago, Romans 8:1. The Bible says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Listen to this. I love verse number 2. Listen. For we walk not after. We walk not after the spirit of the flesh. Listen to the things that are contained therein. Listen, we're no longer in bondage to the fleshly carnal laws. But now the Bible tells us we live in the Spirit of grace. What is grace? The unmerited favor of God toward man. What does that mean? You got something you don't deserve. That's what God's grace is. But listen, he shows ownership to the world. Getting back to the passage, he said, this is his field. You don't own yourself. You don't own your children. We are all his. Your children have been given to you as a blessing from heaven above, from the Father of lights, and in accordance with the Word of God. The Bible said, train a child up in the ways in which it should go, and when it grows old, it shall not depart from it. Amen. The Bible plainly and clearly tells us that God has given us these blessings, and it is our obligation. We are biblically bound by the Word of God. If we believe in the ordinance of family, we are biblically bound to train our children the ways of our Savior in the gospel according to the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Listen, it's not up for discussion or thought. Amen. God ordained marriage. Amen. Listen, he ordained the marriage. And I want to say this while I'm here. Amen. Marriage is ordained between one man and one woman. Amen. Listen to me. The Bible tells us that when Adam was in the garden, that he would desire a helpmate, that God took, he put him in a deep sleep. He took from his side a rib. He created a woman, and he gave him a helpmate. And he said, listen, he said, what God hath joined together, therefore let no man put asunder. Amen. Listen, God established marriage. Amen. He established the man, and he established the woman. Now listen, I'm going to divert course right here. I want you to think about this today. Listen, you know how I love creation. Listen, and you've heard me say this too. Listen, for the theory of evolution to be correct. And I want to say this. Do you know why evolution is only a theory? Because science is called observation. Amen. Listen, so in order for something to be true, it has to be observed. Amen. That's why we know that Jesus is true, because we observe this. We know that the healings are true because we observe them. We know that the resurrection is true because we've seen it. It's not a theory. It's science. But evolution is only a theory because it's one man's thought process. It has not been seen. But you've heard me say this. You know, it's more probable for a nuclear bomb to explode in a junkyard full of airplanes, and from that nuclear explosion, come out of that explosion, a fully assembled, flying, operating 747 jet. There's a high probability. Do you understand that? There is a higher probability of a nuclear explosion taking place in a plane junkyard, and from that explosion, fully assembled, ready to fly, assembled 747. It's more probable for that to happen than evolution is a theory. You understand that? But this is what people hadn't thought of. For evolution to be true, that couldn't have happened just once. You tracking me? One man or one woman cannot reproduce. Amen. So, you know, my uneducated, feeble mind, I'm glad that we have a God that is big enough that if we just listen, He can speak. Amen. So listen, when they talk about the Big Bang Theory, and they talk about thermal expansion, and they talk about all these coincidences and things and forms and factors that had to line up in order for man to be formed, there's one thing that they've overlooked. It couldn't have happened once. It had to happen twice. Amen. Friends, listen, because one man or one woman cannot reproduce, listen, that's what I'm telling you. So now the probabilities of a 747 be assembled out of a nuclear explosion is more probable than the theory of evolution. Now we can add to the complexity, not does it only have to happen once, it has to happen twice. Now look to the heavens, look at the wind blowing, look at the trees shaking in the wind. Tell me we don't serve the most awesome creator that this universe has ever known. We call Him Jehovah, God, and His Son is Jesus. Amen. He said, this is my field. No matter how often and how much the world tries to take this world away from Him, every time they pull, He gets that much bigger. Amen. And you've heard me say this before. Listen, the more I study the Word of God, the more I spend time in prayer, and the deeper I get into the more I feel like I begin to get a hold of a grasp of the understanding of the Word of God. When I just get in that far, the more I realize, the more I understand, the little I know. Amen. Let me tell you, the more we get into it, the bigger God gets. And ain't you glad? Because I'm glad that until we die, we'll never get to a place where we've got God figured out. Amen. Now, let me get on to the next verse. It's going to take a while, ain't it? But while men slept, His enemy came in and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. So in understanding this right here, we have the field, which is the world, the owner of the field, which is God. The Bible says, but while men slept, the Bible says His enemy came in and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. The Bible said in the book of Revelation, He said, woe to the inhabitants of the earth and the sea, for the devil has come down unto you having great wrath, for he knoweth that he hath but a short time. Bible said in 1 Peter, he said, be sober, be vigilant, for your adversary the devil walketh about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Amen. Listen, the enemy, the adversary, the prince of the power of the air, he is among us. Amen. And not only is he among us, not only is he in the world, and we preached on this last Sunday. Amen. I'm tired of everybody saying, well, the devil made me do it. The devil didn't make you do anything. Amen. The devil offered the temptation. You succumbed to the temptation and the enticement and the lust of that temptation. And you are the one who conceived it in your heart. And when conception of sin comes, the Bible tells us that death shall soon follow. So we understand that we have an enemy among us. Amen. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Amen. The Bible repeatedly through the entire New Testament, it encourages us. It challenges us on a daily basis. Paul said, I die daily. Amen. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. He said, be a good soldier. Be an adamant person. Be loving. The Bible tells us the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, gentleness, long-suffering, meekness, and temperance. Friend, listen to me. If we go on and we add all these attributes that the Bible commends unto us that we should live after, then we'll understand why we have these things is to overcome the adversary. Daily battle. Amen. Daily battle. Everybody in this church building here this morning has a weakness in your life. Has a sin that you are apt to fall for, apt to fall into, and daily you must pray for God's deliverance. Amen? If you don't, you better figure out what it is and get on your knees, because it'll ultimately lead to your destruction. The devil knows what it is. Now listen, the Bible says, but while men slept, his enemy came in and sowed tares among the wheat. Of course, we know that the enemy is Satan. It's the same world which we live in. The Bible says that he sowed the tares among the wheat and went his way. But now listen, now there's a lot of people say, well, why could you not tell the wheat from the tares? And from what little study and reading I've done on this, the tare was a flower or a weed pretty much that was, the name for it is a bearded darnel. That's what it's called. But the stem looks identical to a stem of wheat. The only time that you can tell the difference between the tare and the wheat is the fruit that it produces. So when they're both growing together simultaneously, there's not much difference. And to a keen eye, listen, to an experienced workman of the field, I'm sure he could tell the difference. But to the average and ordinary person, the difference could not be told until the fruit was bore. Now, I want to challenge you, Silver City Baptist Church, in accordance with the book of Ezekiel, are we going to set some watchmen on the wall that will, listen to me, that will guard our children and guard our grandchildren and guard our friends' children and our neighbors' children, guard and sanctify this altar and this pulpit where in years to come that the gospel is still going out and it's still being preached and that little bright-eyed boys and girls are still being saved. But when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. See, they were hidden. You know, the Bible tells us, and this is something that we in the New Testament church have often overlooked, especially in the New Testament Baptist church. The Bible tells us, it says, to try the spirits to see they which be of God. 1 John chapter 4, go read it. Try the spirits, see they which be of God. Amen. For they that confesseth not that Jesus is not come in the flesh, the Bible says that that is the spirit of Antichrist, which even is now among us. Amen. Friends, listen to me. There's so many people today, they are looking for something to come. What I'm trying to tell you, the Word of God tells us, it is already here. Amen. Listen, quit listening to all these authors and commentaries and radio and television preachers which shall tell us that we should look for the Antichrist to come. What I'm telling you is the Antichrist is among us now. Drawing, tempting, deceiving. Amen. Preacher, I don't believe you. Then you don't believe the book. Amen. That's what the Bible says. This is not the doctrine according to Chris. This is the Word of God. So the servants of the householder came and said unto him, what's the importance of this? We're fixing to get into this. So the servants of the householder came and said unto him, sir, didst not thou sow good seed in the field? This is a question. From whence then hath it tares? And I'm not going to get into some huge doctrinal debate this morning over where Satan came from and the premise that lied behind it, but we have a very highly exalted angel. The Scripture tells us, you can go read this in Genesis and Ezekiel, we have a highly exalted a cherub, the Bible tells us, and listen, his name is Lucifer. Friends, listen, and in essence, when he seen God create the world and all the things that are contained therein, he in his prideful condemnation, his pride rose up in him, and he wanted to exalt himself as God, and therefore was cast out from heaven. Now we have the presence of the enemy, and not only do we have the presence of the enemy, we have the fruits of the enemy among us. People lying, stealing, cheating, killing. All things that are in opposition to all things that is good is the fruit of the enemy. Amen? I'm going to try and get through this as quick as I can. So the servants of the householder came to him and said, sir, didst thou not sow good seed in the field? The answer to that question is yes. From whence hath it tares? Because of prideful indignation, the tares have now growed among the wheat. Amen. Because I quoted to you just a minute ago. Go back and read it. Revelation chapter 12. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and to the sea, for the devil has come down unto you having great wrath, for he knoweth that he hath but a short time. That's where the tares came from. He said unto them, an enemy hath done this. The servant said unto him, wilt thou then go and gather them up? I want you to listen to what I'm telling you, because your eschatological doctrine is the basis and the premise for everything should be taken from Matthew chapter 13. Amen. We should take what Jesus said and add the rest of the Scripture to what the words of Christ are. Amen. Listen, your eschatology is the doctrine of the end times, the things to come. Jesus told us. He spelled these things out to us. We need to understand what Jesus said, not what somebody else tells us. Wilt thou then go and gather them up? Listen. But he said nay. No. Lest while you gather up the tares, you root up also the wheat with them. You hear what I'm telling you? But he said, no. Lest while you gather up the tares, the seed of the wicked one, you root up also the wheat with him. He said, let them both grow together. Amen. Listen, let both grow together until the harvest Amen. What did Jesus tell us the harvest was? The end of the world. Amen. Now, do you read or do you find anywhere in the verses that we have read, studied, and understood this morning? Do you find, listen, I'm sure there's a lot of you have read and probably enjoyed. Listen, and I'm probably going to offend some of you, but I just want to preach you the Word of God. Listen, the Left Behind series. It's one of the series that people have swallowed up left and right. Amen. We see the distinction of the rapture of the church, the 7 years of tribulation, and then we have Jesus coming back to set up his earthly millennial kingdom. Amen. It looks good. It sounds good. It's movie production worthy. But Jesus said, let them both grow together until the harvest comes.
Right.
Now, I don't want you to take what I'm telling you or because you're mad at me right now. I want you to read what Jesus wrote and apply it to what people say, and you tell me how it lines up. Let both grow together until the harvest, and at the time of the harvest, I will say to the reapers, gather ye together first the tares, bind them in the bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. Jesus is coming. Amen. First Thessalonians chapter number 4, he said, I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you saw are not even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. Amen. I want to stop right there and say this. I do not believe in grave sleep, nor is it doctrinal, nor is it theological, nor does it need to be in the church. Amen. When the Bible said in 2 Corinthians chapter number 5, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Amen. When I die, I'm not going to the grave. I'm going where Jesus is. Amen. The Bible tells us, that's what he just told us in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Those which are asleep in him will God bring with him. The only way that you can get to be with him is to be where he is when death finds you. Amen. He said, now, those that are asleep in Jesus will God bring with him. Amen. He said, but they which are alive and remain shall not prevent them which are asleep. Amen. For the dead in Christ shall rise first. We which are alive and remain shall be changed in a moment. We shall be caught up in the air to meet the Lord in the clouds, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Now, there's a lot of people saying, now, preacher, how can you put those saints that are already dead in Christ, how can you put them with God if the Bible says that the dead in Christ shall rise first? Amen? And this is where people get confused. How can you be with God and coming out of the ground? You see, you understand, the Bible said that the body is going back to the ground, to the dust from which it came, but the spirit is going back to the Creator where it came from. Amen? So listen, when the spirit and the soul of man dies and is saved, kept and sealed by the grace and glory of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, it goes home to be with him. What goes in the ground is the body. When the Lord returns with his church at the harvest and the end of all things, what is transpiring, listen, the Bible tells us we should be, in 1 Corinthians 15, we should be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. There's a transformation has to take place. Why do we, are alive and remain, have to be changed? Because this carnal body cannot go to heaven. Amen. So what is coming out of ground to meet the dead saints? Their glorified, resurrected body. And the Bible said it shall be reunited in the air. The Bible said, and wherefore shall we ever be with the Lord? So wherefore, so comfort one another with these words. Amen. I'm not going to lie to you. There's been too many people in this world, I believe, have been self-deceived by the doctrines of the day into believing that there's going to be a second chance or a second opportunity. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 15, he said, in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye. Do you know how fast the twinkle of an eye is? 1/10,000th of a second. 1/10,000th of a second. If you take 1 second, one Mississippi, you divide one Mississippi into 10,000 parts, the twinkle of an eye is 1/10,000th of a second. That's how fast we're going from here to glory. Yeah. Amen. Then you go back and you read in Revelation chapter 1, the Bible said, and every eye shall behold him, even those which pierced his side. See, we don't need to take everything else that the world has told us and try and figure out the Scripture. We need to take the Scripture, figure out what God said, and then tell the rest of the world. Amen. But see, we've taken in what the world's told us, and we're trying to fit it in, cram it into the Word of God. And I told you this about creation. We've took all these theories. We've took all these scientific studies and documents, and we've tried to cram them as hard as we can into the Word of God. They don't fit. Amen. Take the Word of God and take it into the world. They don't need to change us. We need to change them. Listen, now, I just want to define this in verse 30 over here. The Bible said, let both grow together until the time of the harvest. In time of the harvest, I will say unto the reapers, who are the reapers, by the way, the reapers are the angels, gather ye together first the tares, bind them into bundles to burn them. Listen, where are the tares going to be burnt? There is an eternal place called hell where those that are lost and undone have not received nor been saved by the grace of God, where you will spend eternity in separation from God. As much as heaven is real, hell is real as well. And bind them in the bundles, burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. Now listen to this. I'm going to jump over here in verse number 40, or excuse me, 39. The enemy that sowed them is the devil. We discussed this. The harvest, listen, this is what the Bible said. The harvest is the end of the world, and the reapers are the angels. Let both grow together until the angels come, until the end of time. Listen, as therefore the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so shall it be in the end of this world. Listen, the Son of Man shall send forth his angels and say, and shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend and them which do iniquity. You see, when we go to that wonderful, glorious place called heaven, the absence of sin will be there. Amen. That's what I'm looking for, ain't you, Tommy? Amen. Listen, there's going to be no more aches and pains. There'll be no more preaching on Sunday morning. As much as I love it, when I leave this world, I preach my last message. I'm going to sing from here on out. I can't carry a tune in a bucket down here, but I can't wait for you to hear me up there. He said, work while it's yet day, for the night cometh when no man can work. He said, the fields are wide unto the harvest, but the laborers are few. You see, if you don't work the rows, weeds get swallowed up and the briars start to grow. Even if you're considered among the meat, among the wheat, friends, listen to me. There's still work to do. Still work to do. I don't know if you're saved or lost here today. I don't know where you stand with God. I don't know where your relationship is with Him. Brother Rudge, if you would come on to the piano. Y'all come on with a song. I don't know where you stand with God, but I want you to understand one thing. Jesus is soon coming. I heard an old preacher say this one time. He said, we're not just living in the last days or in the... He said, I believe that we're living in the shadows of the sunset of the last day. Jesus is coming. You say, preacher, I've heard that my whole life. I know you have. And I'm not a prophet, no prophet's son. I can't tell you when that day and time will be. I don't know if it'll be in my lifetime. I believe it would be. I believe that, but it may not. Is that going to discourage me? Absolutely not. Amen? Because if he don't, and you've heard me say this, if he don't come today, I'm going to wake up in the morning looking for him tomorrow. Amen? If he don't come on Monday, I'm going to get up Tuesday morning if God gives me breath, and I'm going to look for him Tuesday. Amen? So, and listen, if he don't come Tuesday, Miss Sandra, I'm getting up Wednesday, and I'm still looking toward the east and saying he might just come today. Amen? But if he comes, where will you go? When the time of the harvest is called in, the eastern sky splits, the angels unfold themselves. And Jesus presents himself and divides, the Bible said, the goats from the sheep. You see, the goats and the sheep are the wheat and the tares. Where will you be? Where will you stand? It's not your mom and daddy's decision. It's not my decision. It's not the decision of Silver City Baptist Church. It's not held in baptism. It's not held in prayers that are prayed. It is held in a conversion and a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. I told a woman one time, she came to me. When I was pastoring Yellow Creek, she came to me and she said, preacher, I don't have a place. And I got to thinking about that, and I got to praying about it, and she shared her testimony with me that she was saved by the grace of God. And she said, well, preacher, I'm so worried about it, though, because she said, I can't tell you the day I was saved, and I can't tell you where I was at. And, you know, I got to thinking about this, wound up preaching a message on it one time. Hey, man, it don't matter how many places you have. If you never had an experience at the place, you've just got a place that'll send you to hell. Don't hold on to the place. Hold on to the experience you had at the place. Amen. Yeah, I'm glad that I remember the altar I was saved in, but the altar didn't save me. Jesus did. It's what happened at the altar. Amen. You need an experience with Jesus Christ. It's not, the Bible tells us in Romans 12, it's not a confirmation. It's a transformation. Stand to your feet this morning.